In a lot of wealthier suburban cities, the cost of home ownership or rent is so high that the teachers, police officers, mechanics, and restaurant workers cannot afford to live in the city they serve. In larger cities where downtown living is becoming more popular, the rent is skyrocketing. In Detroit, some rentals that 15 years ago were affordable are now out of reach for middle-income families. The story is the same in Grand Rapids. That's led to a phenomenon known as the missing middle. Mark Norman is an associate professor of the Taubman College of Architecture and Urban Planning at the University of Michigan. He's here to help us understand the housing's missing middle. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So define missing middle for us. What does that mean?
Well, there are a couple of ways to define it. One is about the actual housing type. So traditionally, missing middle was the duplexes, the triplexes, the courtyard apartments, and the granny flats. And after World War II, a lot of cities basically zoned those out, said those were illegal to build. But those were some of our most affordable kinds of housing. And so a lot of people in middle and lower income brackets were sort of taken out of the market.
Forced out. You have to drive 20 miles to get to work now. Things
correct.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You described the missing middle housing stock a little bit. What should it look like if these cities don't like the granny flats and the things like you just described? What should it look like in a city?
Well, I mean, I think it should just be diverse. And so we are in a situation now where a lot of housing is either single family or multifamily mid-rise. And so all of that other dynamic kind of housing, right, where you're living above a store or you're living in a granny flat or an accessory dwelling unit, or you have an apartment building and you live in one unit and you rent out the other, is something that actually creates affordability.
Zoning laws have a lot to do with the lack of housing for middle-income families, and they're so strict because the city only wants to attract nice developments that just happen to be expensive enough that only higher income folks can afford to actually live there. What can be done with zoning laws that would allow middle income people to live in the city again?
Yeah, I think it's really about being flexible. We had rooming houses, we had boarding houses, we had houses specifically for women, we had small apartments. Zoning, in many cases, can dictate that that can't happen anymore.
Well, let's talk about the practicality of that, because you and I know that when a new and different kind of housing development is proposed and people think that poor people are going to be moving in, there's outrage at City Hall, and they're protesting it, and city officials are saying, well, maybe we should rethink this. How are we going to get past that?
One thing is we need to maybe have new words for affordable housing, because I think it's come to mean in many people's minds public housing, which we don't actually even build anymore. And it also, I think, in some people's minds means some people that are different than they are. When in effect, affordable housing in Michigan is teachers, firefighters, waiters, bartenders. It's what I think most people would consider middle income if they actually knew what the definition was.
Developers who encourage housing such as you've been describing, duplexes and three flat apartments and things like that, they use the term density, which I think is one of the biggest PR blunders in the world of land use, because density sounds like those crowded 19th century tenements. So what do they really mean by density? How can you accomplish density without reminding us of those tenements?
Well, I think density, like affordability, probably needs some new words that make sense to people. So, for example, we're looking at downtown Ann Arbor, for example, incredibly dense in terms of other parts of the state, but not that dense. And so when you show people what, let's say, 20 units per acre looks like, it'll look very differently than it might be in their mind. So I think when we talk about density, we should probably put images to it so that people
like
see
pretty little row houses in the block or something
like
that.
For example.
Yeah. Many times the land prices are so expensive that developers feel they have to go with high-end housing in order to make a profit. We hear that a lot. How important is that economic factor when looking at ways to provide the missing middle housing?
Land is a big part of the cost, but I think back to your point about zoning, we as cities actually can control the price of land. If we mandate that every unit needs two parking spots, we've just increased the price of land because that diminishes the amount of housing that can go on it. So I think we can actually make decisions through our zoning about how expensive the land is. If it's zoned for single family, then that land is actually more expensive. If it's zoned for 8 units, all of a sudden you get more units on that land and each unit becomes cheaper.
I want to talk about some developments that have popped up recently in Detroit, especially. Often there are these multifamily developments that are granted certain tax exemptions and other incentives. And in return, the developer is to set aside a certain fraction of the project for affordable housing. But often when I hear what the rent is actually going for, I'm wondering who in the world can afford affordable housing. That term, again, is really misleading, I think, because it depends on who you are. And even if you're making a median income in this state, you might not be able to afford the rent that they're asking for these things.
Yeah. It's a delicate dance because cities are negotiating for the most affordability while developers are looking at their bottom line. And so,
but we're giving them a lot of tax breaks, incentives, and so forth. I mean, can't the government leverage a better deal?
Cities need to be better negotiators. That much is true. I think the other thing is the way we determine affordability is through area median income. So, for example, in Detroit, that's a much wider area than the immediate location of the house. And so in some cases, while the income of people in the neighborhood might be $30,000 a year, the rent is calculated on a wider area, which might be $60,000 or $70,000 a year.
Hmm. Let's flip this a little bit. What are the consequences when a city is not looking for a way to provide middle missing housing? What's the worst that could happen?
Well, it just gets so unaffordable that people start driving until they qualify, as they say. So living further away to find that affordable housing and then increasing other costs like transportation costs.
I think some of the people in that elite city might be okay with that.
That's true. And so in places like California now, the state legislature is actually usurping power from municipalities in order for them to build affordable housing or more affordable housing than they're approving.
As we see in cities all over, we're still feeling the effects of redlining done back in the 40s and 50s. How does that play out today when we're talking about affordable housing and this missing middle?
It plays out in a number of ways. And there are a couple of books now that have really dug in on this topic, one called The Color of Law, which looks at historically how municipalities and federal programs zoned certain groups out of housing. And I think the long-term consequences our generational wealth was not created because people couldn't actually buy houses and live in neighborhoods where values were increasing.
So when a family's biggest asset is a house and they don't have that to pass on to their kids, it's a multi-generational problem.
It's a multi-generational problem.
One more question. When people start moving back into a city, what should cities be doing to help the people who actually live in those renewed neighborhoods and suddenly find they can no longer afford the rent?
I mean, there are a number of ways you can deal with that. Some cities do it through rent control, but others actually figure out ways to build more housing at more affordable prices and incentivize developers through better negotiation so that those rents are actually affordable for people that live there.
Mark Norman is Associate Professor of Practice in Urban and Regional Planning at the Taubman College of Architecture at the University of Michigan. Thanks for telling us about the missing middle.
Thank you.